The Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 126, coming to you like a junior B fullback about to deliver a shoulder to a young fella that knocks him into next week. On this week's podcast, we learn what it's really like to be in a boy band. Does it require more talent than simply being able to get up off a stool for a high bit of the song? We chat to Dale Cronin, formerly of Hometown.
He's been busy harassing tip manager Liam Sheedy to include his son in the 2020 panel, hashtag John Paul for the county. But Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
We're not saying she drinks a lot of wine, but her blood type may be Sauvignon Blanc. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as thinking Jager bombs are a good idea on the night out and then utterly regretting them the next morning, we run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week.
What? You went full Ron Burgundy there, lad. Jager bomb.
Jager bomb.
Jager bomb, lad.
Yes, but it doesn't have the two dots over, so I couldn't give it its full Germanic pronunciation. Or is it Russian? Where's Jager bomb? Where's Jägermeister from?
Where's Germany.
It? Germany. Yeah, you know what I mean? See, I know my German. No!
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Mr. Chairman, on last week's topic of the drink, Andrew said, fair play to you for addressing the drink. Ireland has a massive issue with it, as Anne Doyle would say, issue. I gave it up at 23, best thing ever. And I asked him, how long are you off it? He said, 4.5 years of no drink. Smack said about not being able to give it up because he loves sitting around drinking and chatting with mates. Well, if the mates are good enough, you can do that in a pub. You could drink tea. You could drink water. We are pure institutionalized by the drink. Johnny, why couldn't you just go out and drink tea or water?
Just don't. I don't actually like tea.
Okay, that's
strangely enough. I don't like tea, and I don't know. Like, I'd be afraid drinking water. People just think I'm on yorks. it's like yeah, he's drinking water. He's on yorks. That
get
fella.
Him out. Get him out.
Plus, I just want to, like, I think I went a bit hard on the drink last week.
Aww,
yeah, know. You know, and it's lucky we didn't do the topic this week. I'd have a whole different, like. Afterwards, I went and drank half a keg of Guinness, and I was sick till Thursday. Would I change it? Maybe. But who cares anyway? An anonymous pharmacy technician was in touch and says, I have a hangover cure that works a treat. A pint of water with a diorolite, two soluble paracetamols, and a soluble vitamin C all in together in the one glass. After you get home from your night out, mix it up, drink it all off in one. Smacks, you'll wake up like you never had a drink.
Pint of water, diorolite, two soluble paracetamol and soluble vitamin C. We're going to try that.
Definitely going to try that. And if this doesn't work, we're going to find out where that pharmacy technician is and have the place closed down.
Ben emailed the podcast. This year when I finished the mocks for the Leaving Cert, we had a big night out and they finished up. We started about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I got a call to play a junior A soccer match that night. And sure, it was too big a match to say no to. So half cut, I went out to Newport for the match. Played about 70 minutes and then could barely walk by the end of it. But I was back home and by 10 o'clock, I was straight back out. Being young allows you to still go for a match the next morning for youths. Drink does give the best times.
Yeah, some of my best times have been drunk. Also, the playing matches is a whole different kettle of fish now.
Hungover.
Oh, I used to do it like with the Sunday soccer down here, like the junior soccer. Like,
yeah,
I'd be rock up. I'd be banging a fucking rocker a bull at me, like, you know, when I was a young lad, not a bother. Like, and you're happy beating out your chest during the warm up, all right?
Yeah,
which is, I would not recommend. But nowadays, nah, I'm too old. By now, last week's mystery topic: lads playing games while texting. Remember this from last week?
We're not talking about Snake.
Yeah. One listener said, 100%, it is that simple. If a fella is into you, he will make it happen. And girls thinking, oh, he's just playing it cool, or oh, he's just very busy, or any other shite, they're only codding themselves, this listener says.
And another listener said, Irish lads cannot communicate at all. I've been on Tinder a while and never had too many negative experiences until the past month or so. I matched with two lads. Boys, she calls them. The chat is great. Similar likes, interests. We move off Tinder and we continue the pics/chat. and then it stops. Just stops. It was never constant texting. I tend to be away from my phone at work. But it worked well. With the two lads that it happened with, I messaged them 3 or 4 days later and literally called them out on it. I don't care. I have no shame. I knew what I wanted. Both had similar replies of, I'm just out of something and I'm not ready for dating.
Classic.
Etc. Pile of horse manure. TBH. That's slang for to be honest.
Oh, you're with the times.
To be honest, I think they're just on a mission to increase their Insta following. Did it bother me? Nope. They were just lads I talked to. They're replaceable, as Beyonce would say. It's just so draining. I think it's better to say what you want and don't want in the beginning. If it's up to the recipient, then how they take it. But grow a pair of balls and say it.
Mm.
Lads sometimes don't know what they want.
Yeah. Lads might just want an old bit of a chase.
Yeah, and a bit of a confidence boost.
But like you can't say that out. You're not going to be like, you know, texting on Tinder and just be like, listen, do you want to start WhatsApp? And yeah, no bother. Now, just to let you know, I'm going to ghost you in 4 days, right? I just want a bit of a chase. You know, that's not going to work.
Yeah, but
that's not how the game works.
Yeah, but lads need to cut that out.
Yeah, just...
If you're like, oh, I only want a bit of a
lads
chase.
Lads love attention, Johnny.
Yeah, but need to get over that. You can't be messing around with people like that.
You can't play on my emotions, man.
Look, lads, we've all done it, but it's not good.
Now, one of my favourite topics. Lingerie.
Lingerie.
Lingerie, right?
Ladies' lingerie.
Veronica said, re-wearing two pairs of knickers on a night out. One Spanx and one thong. My friends and I always do it. One of my friends once whipped the Spanx off and into the bag in the club when she bumped into the guy she'd been half seen and he started pulling the chat on her. All was going great. He bought her a drink and she brought him up to the bar on her round for a shot. She popped her bag on the busy bar with the guy next to her. The barman brought the shots and when she whipped out the wallet to pay, the Spanx went flying up in the air, landed right on top of the shots of tequila. She had to fish them out of the shots and buy a new round. Luckily, the guy saw the funny side. They were together for a year or two after that. Moral of the story, wear two knickers if you like, but make sure you've got a Ziploc bag to store them in.
Yes, that's a great story. On round Dodgers. Bastards.
Oh,
bastards. Lauren emailed the pod. There is a fella who drinks in our local pub who is notorious for it. Now, given that he is a 50-something man with a decent job and a rake of horses, etc., he must have... If you have horses, you have money. This behaviour is just ridiculous. He's so well known for it that anyone who drinks in our local knows to avoid him. But it's the odd townie who innocently stumbles into our little country pub that are the real victims. Anyway, I have two stories. One Saturday night, he comes into the pub, orders a bottle of red wine, sits there on his own, sipping it for a few hours, chatting away to whoever's at the bar. Comes time to leave and he says to the barman, I've no money on me. Can I fix up with you the next day I'm in? The poor barman says, sure, no bother. Next Sunday rolls around and he comes into the pub with a bottle of €4 Aldi wine and hands it across the counter to the barman. There you go. There's the wine I owe you. Now, as Maura will tell you, as a fan of the Lady Petrol herself, a bottle of wine in a pub, you're talking at least €25. Not to mention anyone ordering wine in the pub will know well it's an Aldi bottle and wouldn't take it. But the barman didn't know what to do. And this book wasn't playing. So what are you to do? Second story. A few weeks back, this chap used to go for pints on a Sunday evening with his wife, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, a few friends. All in all, there would be 6 or 7 of them. At the time, the pub didn't have Coors Light on draft, so the wife was drinking cans of Coors. And given the fact that she was a slower drinker than everyone else, she couldn't keep up with the round. I know what you're thinking, Smacks. She shouldn't have been in the round. Should have stepped back, paid for herself. Well, now, the bowled owl husband had other plans. Whenever it was his or the wife's round, she wouldn't get a can. If it was anyone else's round, she would say, stick that in the fridge for me. I'll drink it during the week.
Jesus.
So this crafty fucker was calling into the pub 2-3 nights and drinking cans of Coors that were paid for by someone else on a Sunday night.
There's a special place in hell for this man. I'll tell you that.
That is disgusting.
That is horrible, yeah.
I am scarred. No, I will not sleep tonight.
Now, I have often got a bottle from the pub as a takeaway and you'd replace it. That's the deal in Care and you get, in like, Roscrea.
The exact bottle of vodka.
Yeah, so like if you're like, right, and going to house party, can I get a bottle of vodka off you? They're like, grand.
Yeah.
There's a litre, like, and you take like a litre of Smirnoff or whatever, but you have to obviously bring back. Like, you can't come in the next day with a litre of Rushkinoff, you know what I mean, that you got for €5 on Aldi. Do you know? You just can't do it, lads. And putting cans in the fridge, that's a disgrace.
Well, do you remember there was a pub in Carrick and Shore across the river in Carrick Beg where you could buy flagons of cider. And if you didn't finish it, you'd write your name on it and they'd keep it behind the counter for the next time you came in.
Oh, my God.
Anyone from Carrick listening, is that still the case? Let us know, please.
I remember one time we were in the pub. I think it could have been the Shamrock. And one of the lads, obviously, was in college, strapped for a bit of cash. And
yeah.
He was drinking, like, was it like cans of Carling or something in Huey's? Wow. And Huey's like, we don't sell that. They obviously didn't sell it in the pub. Like, going around drinking it.
I was in the pub in Dunohill once. There's two pubs, Crosses and one across the way. And it's one of those real old, it's a pub and a shop.
Oh, yeah.
And the boys were like, you'd be just standing around the shop drinking. So you could buy 6 cans of Bavaria off her at like retail price.
Okay.
And she'd hand you the 6-pack. And you'd just drink one and put the other 5 in the fridge with the sausages and rashers.
Brilliant.
And stand around the shop drinking your cans.
We need to bring those pubs back. Now, moving on Irish geography, these are place names that have been wrecking heads over the last few weeks. Rebecca was in touch, listening to the podcast, and the way people say they're from West Cork and not Cork. It's the same way with Armagh and South Armagh. I'm from a place called Killeavy, South Armagh, and it's bred into you to say South Armagh as if they're two completely different places. The look of disgust if you were to ever say just Armagh. Living and working in Cork now and realise no one down here knows the difference.
Yeah, I've heard South Armagh. South Armagh. Why is that? Is South Armagh very different to North Armagh?
I was like, where have I heard South Armagh before?
But
and
it's
then
in
I was like,
song.
It's in the song that we wrote. Yeah.
That we haven't released yet. Yeah. Paul said, on people who are from Mullingar, saying that they are from Mullingar, not Westmeath. I'm from Westmeath side of Athlone and went to college in Limerick. Whenever I met someone, I would tell them, I'm from Athlone. And so did all of my other Westmeath Athlone friends. However, all of the lads from the Roscommon side of Athlone introduced themselves as being from Roscommon. I thought about this a good bit in college. What were you studying?
He was studying Roscommon.
And reckoned it was because Athlone and Mullingar are both sort of well-known towns, whereas Westmeath seems to be an unknown county. Plus the fact that most of us have feck all pride in being from Westmeath. One of my friends from Wexford even thought Athlone was its own county.
I've heard that before, yeah.
We have heard that before. Although I then asked him, and how do you think Wexford have never drawn County Athlone in the Leinster Championship? Sorry, this is probably boring as feck, but my main point is basically that when you're from a town that is relatively better known than the county it is situated in, you are likely to say you are from that town instead of the county. See also Carrick and Shannon.
Yeah. Owen was also in touch. He said, well, lads, on the last podcast, you were talking about how people from Mullingar always say they're from Mullingar and not Westmeath. To clear this up, Fee, a lot of people I've met previously have never heard of Westmeath, but know Mullingar because of Niall Horan. Not saying that's definitely why everyone does it, but that's just in my case. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
Long before Niall Horan,
yes,
there was a man who wore a white suit and looked like he was from Del Monte. Joe Dolan is the reason people say they're from Mullingar.
Yes, come out of the fog.
Mullingar has produced some greats. Like, we love Niall Horan, but like, I would say Joe Dolan put Mullingar on the map.
Yes.
And many others since, in fairness to him.
The Academic.
Yes, Brezzy, Connor Sketches.
Yes.
All from Mullingar.
But mostly Joe Dolan.
But I would say, if I was to put a percentage, I would say 98% Joe Dolan. 2% everyone else.
Amy was in touch. I'm from County Joe Dolan. Amy said, how are we? On the topic of...
Who are you playing the Leinster Championship? Joe Dolan.
Amy said, how are we? So Amy's from the country, you know it. On your topic of mispronounced or misspelled place names, I live near a village called Gaggin.
Aye, aye.
I bet you do, Amy.
It's a bad name, isn't it?
G-A-G-G-I-N. And yes, Johnny B, when asked where I'm from, I say West Cork instead of Cork. This place is not a town or a village, but has a church and a community hall. Random, I know, but sure, that's rural Ireland for you. Anyway, up until 2 years ago, the sign heading into the place was misspelled and was called Gagan. G-A-G-G-A-N. A slight mistake, but the locals weren't too happy when people pronounced it wrong. Eventually, the local council realized their mistake and changed the sign to the proper spelling, and all was well again. Until 2 weeks later, I was coming home one day and the car. I was coming home one day in the car and noticed something different about the sign. Some legend had placed an N plate and stuck it over the G, meaning the sign now read Naggin. It stayed like that for a month until it was removed, but every time I passed it, I get some laugh. Love the podcast. Keep it up. Amy from Gagan.
Genius. On first dates, Anonymous said, well, lads, I was chatting to this bjor on a dating app. Wow.
Oi, oi.
Romantic. And things were going well, so we arranged to meet. Following on from the sound advice you'd been dishing out over the last few weeks, and given that the pubs and restaurants were not open, we said we'd meet for a coffee. She's from South Tip, and I'm from Kilkenny. Ooh, cross border.
Do people from South Tip say they're from South Tip?
No.
We definitely say Tip.
No, no, Tip, Tip, Tip. And I'm from Kilkenny, so I suggested we meet in Care.
On Care!
After all the hype, sure, it must be some crack. We greeted one another and grabbed two coffees, took a stroll in the park next to the castle. We were getting on grand and the park was busy with people milling around, but we managed to get a bench. Having been talking for 30 minutes and having the crack, a lad walked by us several times and he had a fold-up stool. I thought he must be an angler or something. Anyway, he comes around again and interrupts my A game with, sorry, do you mind if I ask you a question? Sure, I'd be sound and would always help a lad if he needed it. I wasn't expecting what came next. Do you believe in God? Funnily enough, that's exactly who came to my mind. I was thinking to myself, well, if I do, he's having a right laugh at me now. I indicated my approval at the thought of there being someone more important than myself and Brian Cody, obviously. Well, clear to Jesus, he took it as an invite for the sermon in the park. You'd swear he was the Pope as he touched on all the hot topics, much of which grated with me being a liberal enough soul. He told us how he found God in America. I was thinking, if God is anywhere, America would be the last place he'd be hanging out. Now, at this point, we were into the heavy lifting and I'm having an internal breakdown. Why did I say yes? What is herself going to think? How do I get it to stop? I went for the default response of nodding and muttering, ah, yeah. 20 minutes in, I was looking for salvation, all right. Finally, he gave us the final blessing and moved on. It took a moment. And turned. I took a moment and turned to herself. She started to laugh, at which point I asked to know, was I being recorded for some viral prank video? As mad as it was at the time, we spent another hour and a half taking in the sights of Care, and this prophet really broke the ice. We finally said good luck to one another, and we've exchanged numbers and arranged to meet again. Needless to say, Care might not be high on the list of potential second dates.
I need to know, what did he look like? What age was he?
Yeah.
Well, we might know him.
Could be someone having you on. Like, I like to be honest, I'm what, nine, 10 years living in Care. I haven't met a prophet yet. I've met a fair few characters.
There's a good few Jehovah's Witnesses come down. They have a place in Tip Town.
Yeah, remember they called out to our house one day.
I gave him holly.
You were loving it, lad. You were tearing your man apart at the door. By the end of it, you were giving him a sermon.
They've stopped calling. They used to call to me like once a month. On 6-year pranks, Garrod has said, on the topic of 6-year pranks, a couple of years before me in school, they built a 7-foot concrete wall at the main entrance of the school. They were threatened with expulsion, but settled on having to knock the wall down. I also heard from another school nearby that they got bail wrap and wrapped the teacher's car. And to make it better, one of the teachers paid them not to rob his car.
That's genius.
That's extortion. Well done.
Last week's, you
will go far.
Last week's mug winner was in touch.
Oh, this is about the dildo.
About the dildo.
Yes, people need to hear this.
So we're addressing her now as Dildo Girl, because that's how, like, you'll see here. She says, hi lads, it's Dildo Girl. Back to spread the word after hearing my correspondence last week out loud. I realised I needed to explain myself. In regards to using a vibrator on a man, it only works if you use a vibrating wand massager, not a dildo.
Yeah, well, you should have explained that.
I thought, since the female clit has the same nerve endings as the man's penis, it should feel just as good for the man. She's really thinking a lot about this. All you have to do is hold the wand on the man's part, especially around the frenulum. where it is more frenulum. Sensitive. A what?
Frenulum.
Right. And where would I find that? Some like it.
Eso sell them.
She also. I googled it. It's just below the foreskin.
Okay, all right.
Beside the timing belt.
We'll have a look. We'll have a look for that in a while. There, the shaft. Dildo Girl also says some like it around the balls too. Apparently, it is a completely different sensation from a regular orgasm, and it's far more intense. You can buy wand massagers for cheap enough on Amazon, and it don't have to be sexual. You can use them on your shoulder blades or other parts to relieve muscle soreness. All around, a solid stress relief item that everyone should own. I'd look into it for Noel's birthday. I hope that wasn't too weird and that it makes more sense now. Thank you very much, Dildo Girl.
Thanks for that.
That is incredible.
Now, hashtag save our chicken rolls.
Oh, yeah.
One on, listener Johnny. Said, well, lads, this is from Campaneros in Bondi Junction.
I would say Chappuccinos.
Whatever. It's from a shop in Bondi Junction, Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, mate.
The carry-on here, $13.90 for a chicken roll. What is it, Johnny?
Outrageous. James emailed the podcast. I am writing this email in regards to your Save Our Chicken Rolls campaign. I am power washing sheds for a very famous stud farm here in Tip, and throughout the summer in college in Maynooth, I've come across a few different chicken roll prices. Firstly, in Maynooth, you can get chicken rolls for €3.50 in the Phoenix Cafe on campus, and for €1.50 in Pugin Hall on the South Campus.
Wow.
Now, both rolls have the chicken in them, but they're grand for hungover students. Now, back here in Tip, I have come across a number of good and horrendous prices. We'll start with Super Value in Cashel.
Well, this guy is taking names.
Yes, he's calling them out. We'll start with Super Value in Cashel, which does a chicken roll, packet of crisps, and a drink for a fiver. In Daybreak in Feathered, me and one of the lads both got the same chicken roll, but we were served by two different people. My roll cost €3.80. My friend was charged €4.20. This is not the first time this has happened. Something needs to be done.
Something needs
Hashtag
to be
save
done.
Save our chicken rolls. That is outrageous.
Liam emails to say there's daylight robbery going on right under our noses in Blaland. What the foot boy. And the guards aren't even doing anything to stop it. I was down in Tremore.
Oh, go on, boy.
The Tremorons during the weekend, and I stopped into Apple Green on the Tremor Road to Waterford. Let's name and shame these mothers. I ordered a chicken fillet roll with lettuce, cheese, and stuffing. And do you know how much it cost me?
How much?
€5.25.
Outrageous!
Lads, I was fuming. And to make matters worse, there was feck-all mayo in the roll. You'd swear the sauce was coming out of the deli workers' wages.
Come on, deli workers of Ireland, get together on this. Fill those chicken rolls. Another listener emailed and said, well, lads, what's the story? Chicken rolls in Spar Patrick Street, Mullingar, €4.29. With extra toppings.
Well, what? That's not enough information.
Yeah, we need to know. Like, was it four before you done the dog on it with the extra toppings?
Yeah, I'm. Prepared.
You're not getting an outrageous for that now.
No, I would pay extra for chorizo.
Yeah. Now
I was talking to somebody who went into Dunn's and they were hungover and they said, "Can I get a roll with just mayonnaise and cheese?"
Wow. How and hungover were they?
Very. And your one stood there for a while and was like, "No." I said, "What do you mean, no? give me the roll." And they're like, "Well, I don't know how much to charge you, because I can't charge you for a chicken roll if there's no chicken in it. Yeah, our inventory will be off." So in the end, they didn't give her the roll because they didn't know how much to charge her.
That's scandalous.
No, that's outrageous.
That is outrageous, yeah.
Chris Murphy, a.k.a. Chris's Annam Dom on TikTok, lads, and Insta, has written a poem about the humble chicken roll. And we're going to play a little clip for you here.
This is an ode to my chicken fillet roll by Chris's Annam Dom. A trip to Centra, but not like before. Grabbing the essentials, but one thing more. Gloves and a mask and a big hungry belly. Straight to the back to the most heavenly deli. She peers over the counter, spicy or plain. Those familiar words, they dance in my brain. Spicy, I say, my head all a flutter. We lock eyes once more, with mayo or butter. Small bit of mayo, no butter added. She catches my gaze. Do you want any salad? Chopped peppers and lettuce and maybe some cheese. The roll's filling up, I'm weak. at the knees. The excitement builds. I grin, then I laugh. She smiles back at me. Will I cut it in half? Please, I return as the knife cuts the roll. She wraps it in paper and nostalgia fills my soul. Back at the table, I unwrap the paper, holding it now. It's bursting with flavor. The first bite is bliss. The second is heaven. It's back in my life. Chicken fillet rolls are legend.
Chris really likes chicken rolls.
Yeah, fair play to him.
Now, Johnny, who is winning the Two Johnny's Podcast mug, kindly sponsored by KC Sports, Mullingar?
Mullingar. Yeah, they are from Mullingar. There you go, boy.
Maura, who do you like for the mug?
Oh, the poor girl whose Spanx fell into the tequila. You'd be hard one to live down now.
Yeah, probably go with that.
Okay, yeah.
Spanx girl.
Commiserations to the date and care who got their religious ceremony.
Yeah, that's very unlucky. I would say you're almost hard done by, but no, I think Spanx. So we had dildo woman last week. Now we've got Spanx woman this week.
It's dildo girl sounds like a shit superhero. Kinda. Yeah, just comes on and batters the Joker with a big black mambo across the head.
Okay,
take that.
Spanx lady, get in touch. You can email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie with all your details. Maura, look after you and we get the mug out you. Okay, the weekly roundup, John.
Yeah, thanks everybody who has been purchasing our new chicken fillet roll t-shirt. Hashtag outrageous.
They're flying out the gap. Like, people want to drive this car. I'm telling you, we'll be in the houses of the Oireachtas now one of these days. Just saying, like, listen, I know inflation's crazy and I know we're going through, you know, Bit of a downtime in the economy. But chicken rolls, lads, are vital. You know what I mean? Let's call a spade a spade. They'll be like, what about social housing? We'll be like, yeah, that as well. And chicken rolls. Do them all at the one time. Chicken rolls for everyone.
Johnny, yeah. This week, while I was at a committee meeting in the stand, we were outdoors, standing around.
Yeah, a socially distant committee meeting in the stand.
Yeah, I looked out into the field and there you were training the miners.
Yeah, like Liam Sheedy, lad.
Not quite, but.
Yeah, no, I was asked by a hurling fundamentalist in our club would I train the miners just on a once off. He was looking for a coach, someone else to come in and do something.
And he couldn't get one, but you were around.
Nah, man, he knows. He knows. Like, listen, I don't think this guy personally likes me, but he can't argue with my hurling philosophy. So that's why I
How did you get on?
Grand. I went down, like, I think they thought like it was like a special guest coming in to train them, like, and I was like, do you know, I don't know, did they think I was going to make them laugh for an hour? That soon changed after around 30 seconds when I was screaming at them. Young lads nowadays are so helpless, like. Well, I'm just looking at you, like, waiting for you to tell everything, like, you know. I'm like, come on, boys, a bit of initiative. But we got going, we had a good training session, and I had like, I like to be prepared for things, like anything, a gig or anything you're going to do, you want to be prepared. So I said to like, the actual manager of this team.
Yeah.
Will you have cones and bollards? How many will we have training? Will we have use of a full field? You know what I mean? You want to know because you want to plan out your session.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I'll have loads of bollards. We have a full field. I got down. We didn't have any field. And we had six bollards. Not an ideal start. Anyway, we got more bollards and we got use of the pitch and we got going, whatever. And then at the end he was like, geez, that was great. I was like, yeah, no bother. I was like, you know, happy to help out. I was like, I'm going over to the committee meeting there. He was like, yeah, just before you go there, would you be interested in getting involved now for the rest of the year? Like, you know, it's only 6 or 8 weeks now the championship will be over, like.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, we're flat out, like, you know, something, Johnny, you're busy, like, we've a lot of stuff coming up. And he was like, okay. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to, like, you know, but just too busy, I couldn't commit.
Can't do it.
So this was like over at the entrance to the field. By the time I walked across the field to the stand to get in over the railing to join the committee meeting, I had already been added into the minor hurling WhatsApp group. This man does not take no for an answer. So yeah, we've got training again tonight. I'm roped in, like, and I gotta be honest, like, I'm probably a bit too busy. And plus, like, this is worse. If you think I'm bad on the field shouting at people, like, you're going to see me like on the sideline.
Oh, Maura, you should have heard him. He came in the next morning after training the minors, hoarse from screaming at them. Like, they were like, oh my God, it's Johnny Smacks. And he was like, move the fucking ball.
I don't know. It's tough because I'm used to playing with adult players, like, and everybody talks to each other. Like, these lads, honest to God, for lads who've played together since under 12, like, it was like they didn't know each other. And I think that's probably the same with kids, like, just lack of communication. But they're all good players.
And they're probably a small bit shy around you for the first night as well.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. Hopefully they'll start getting into it now. We'll have a bit of crack. Go on, care, boy.
Well, thank you to everybody who has signed up for our extra podcast on Patreon. It's out every Thursday, and we absolutely love doing it. We're having so much fun, and we love you all for signing up. Now, this week, we were talking about food. And I have got to say, my mind is blown by the correspondence we have been sent in. Here's a little clip. Liam said, my uncle worked in a school and one of the kids ate only Pringles and bourbons for the whole year.
This beige food epidemic that is sweeping Ireland is a general problem. Some of our friends are grown men and only eat beige food, like, and that's spud, like chips, chicken nuggets, like
waffles.
Yeah. All yeah. that kind of beige stuff.
Owen said he's got a friend who only eats chicken nuggets and sausage rolls, and he still manages to play hurling. That man is on thin ice, Owen. And Colin said, I went out with a girl, took her for dinner one night, and when we got there, she asked for the kids' menu, ordered chicken goujons and chips, said that was all she could eat, not even a roast on a Sunday. Stephanie said, my parents' friend lives on potatoes, chips, brown bread, maybe the odd packet of potato, and tea runs through his veins. He's never had meat in his life, and the doctor says he's healthy out. It's blowing my mind. Dara had a fellow in college that refused to eat any vegetables but the potatoes that came from potato things. Also, he lived solely on garlic bread and margarita pizza, potato and minstrels for an entire semester. I said, is he still alive? He said, yes, he put on 30 kg, but he's still alive.
Now, Ireland has had its fair share of boy band success. Girls across the world have gone crazy for Boyzone and Westlife. And also, Niall Horan was the best thing about One Direction. Yeah, we don't care. We said it. And recently, we formed our own Westlife tribute band with Des Cahill and Marty Morrissey for RTE's Comic Relief. But is being in a boy band all it's cracked up to be? Is there loads of cash and thousands of adoring fans? We caught up with Dale Cronin recently. Now, Dale spent almost 3 years in Louis Walsh's boy band hometown. He's also appeared on Dancing with the Stars and was the lad who did a backflip in our music video Sinead. That's definitely his biggest claim to fame. Yeah. Dale started by telling us how he got interested in showbiz.
So I started dancing when I was like 7 in Clonmel in On Your Toes. Like, I don't know, you probably might never heard of it because you don't. I'm sure John, you were telling me you went On Your Toes and they kicked you out.
Yeah.
They said
when I was 24 I was too old.
But yeah, so I started dancing when I was about 7, and then when I was 17, then I went away to college in England in Leicester to do performing arts, and I was there. Then I heard about the auditions for the band, and it was actually my dad had seen Louis Walsh on the telly talking about it, and he left it for about 2 weeks and was like, "Well," because I was over in England, he was like, "Will I ring him?" Because it was something I was like, I'd always, I know when you're younger, like, oh, I'd love to be famous, like, do you know what I mean, all class, like. And then this opportunity came up. My dad rang me, he's like, "Look, do you want to come back and give it a go?" And I said, "Sure, might as well." Like, and like, in my college, you weren't actually allowed audition in second year, so I lied to them and I was like, "Listen, my granddad's really sick, like, God bless him." And they were like, okay. So I was flying over and back for about 5 months, like, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, and to audition. And don't ask me how, but I got in.
Where was the audition? What was it like?
So the audition was in Dublin, in the Button Factory. Yeah, it was in the Button Factory in Dublin, the first...
In Temple Bar,
for the first 3 months. And, like, you'd go... I actually, my mom's probably going to kill me now for saying this, but I actually didn't know what song I was going to sing when I went up. Hand on heart, I was standing in the queue. There was like about 5 lads in front of me before we got to the stage. And I was like, what song am I going to sing? I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And a lad, and I was like, right, I have the song, because we were actually doing it in college. I was doing that song, I think it's We Are Young by Fun or something. Oh, yeah. You know that one? I was like, let's sing that one. And I sing the 5th lad before me. And I didn't know the name of the song, and he actually sang it. And I was like, but thank God he sung it, because I didn't know the name of the song. So I was like, he wasn't that great, no, bless him. But I'm joking, he was way better than me. But I went up, sang the song, and there was like Louis Walsh, like Linda Martin, Stuart O'Connor, like a load of heads, like a load of labels, and we were just there. I sang the song, and he literally went, thanks, and I literally just packed up my bag and left out the back door, and there was like a load of other lads just standing around going, what's going on? Like, and I was like, I don't know, like, and my phone rang. And it was like, you know, their PR company be like, you were really good. Will you come back? And like all these boys are staring at me. And I was like, yeah, ma'am. No, I'll see you later on. Thanks a million. I hung up the phone and then went back. But
I would have been like, you're all shit.
Imagine. They would have been like, no, you were useless. Because like, I was never mad into singing. Like, I liked it. Like I did all like the musicals and the school shows and stuff. But like singing like was never my main thing. Like dancing, yeah, any day of the week, I'll say I'm a great dancer. But singing, like I was like, I'm okay. So like,
did you dance as part of your audition?
We had to, yeah. We actually had to do a couple of, like, Stuart O'Connor is a choreographer up in Dublin. He came in and did a few routines with us and stuff. So that's kind of where I kind of excelled. But there was only, like, one or two things like that. And I actually missed. So when one of the auditions were over, I actually had to fly back to England. I was getting my flight. And they were like, yeah, look, the day is done. You can go home. But the lads told me after, they all had to make a big circle around Linda Martin. Linda Martin sat in the chair.
This is going to end badly now.
All the boys had to go up and dance to her, right? And now I wish I saw it, but Keane Moran in the band, he got in with me and he told me what he did was he can do this thing where, do you know when you ever see people and they roll their bellies, like
yeah,
proper
like
roll.
Belly dance, yeah.
He went up to her and like did this and like really rolled his belly in front of Linda Martin, like, and I just was like, how you got in, like based off that, like was just bonkers.
What kind of a band are we setting up here?
Oh yeah, literally, like, and just, I was comical, like you can't erase it.
Our first performance is going to be in a strip club.
Yeah.
I've got it, you got it.
Magic mic job.
So how did you know you were in?
Well, so the auditions went on for about 4 or 5 months and like they kept getting like cut down. So it was over 1,000 lads auditioned and yeah, got cut down to like about 20 for about a month and then it got cut down to 10. So there was 10 of us in a room for 4 days doing like, they kept swapping up the groups and like the labels came in. They actually brought in a load of young ones at one stage. There was about 40 young ones came in and we had to perform. And I remember one lad, a Dublin lad, fairly rough enough, like, but he was cool looking, like, to me, he looked like he was a boy band.
Bit of a rogue.
Yeah, we were like, a band always needs that one badass, like, I was like, that's him, like, he, on that day, took off his jacket, threw it out into the crowd, took off his chain, threw that out into the crowd, picked out a blow-up balloon or something, booted it, and we were like, but then he came off the stage and was like, can I get that stuff back? Like, no, like, but, so that all happened anyway, and then he picked Ryan. It was a Wednesday, I think. It was 2 days.
When you
left.
Say he, you mean Louis Walsh?
Louis Walsh, yeah, sorry. Louis Walsh picked Ryan first, and we were all like, geez, well done. I remember it was so funny. Ryan got picked first, and all the lads were licking his arse. Like, I mean, everybody was texting him, like, well done, lad, and your class. And I literally was like, well done, like, because yeah, we still kind of didn't really know each other, like, you know, we're all strangers, like. And then on the Thursday, then we were all sitting down and Louis was talking to us and he was like, right, look, when Telly was in the band, he was like, right, okay, I think it was Brendan, he picked Brendan. And then he was like, right, Keane. And then I was at the end, so we were sitting on like a sort like an L-shaped thing and I was at the very end and I was just sitting there and I was like, nah, I was like, I'm gone, like there's not a hole. And he walked, it was like the world stopped and he was slowest walk ever, walked all the way down and I was like, what the hell. And then he goes, just put his hand on my shoulder and was like, you're in the band. And I remember just putting my hands in my head being like, how did I get this? Like there's lads here that are unreal. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I was okay. Like, but geez, some of the boys had some pipes on them, and I was like, I'm sorry. Like, do you know what I mean? But yeah, so that's it. He came, put his hand on his shoulder, and said, "You're in the band." And I was just like, unreal. Like, couldn't believe it. Like,
and what happens next then?
What happened next then? We all went back to our jobs. No, genuinely, that was in the summer, and he was like, "Look, we're not going to do that until after Christmas." So I actually went back to college in England in September for 4 months and then came back after Christmas because it was grand, like.
Yeah.
And then we started off then, we kind of went into studio together. There was 5 of us originally and we went into studio together and just kind of just getting to know each other and having the crack, recording, just seeing what kind of sound we wanted and stuff. And we auditioned for like record labels and we were auditioning for months and nothing was happening, like, and we were like, what's going on? Like, you think with the likes of Louis Walsh behind you, you'd have serious pull, like. And yeah, it just wasn't happening. And then I remember, would you believe, I'd actually never really been to a concert or a festival. And people always say to me, but you were in a band, like you love music. I was like, I was just afraid I'd die at a festival. Like, do you know what? I was just afraid I'd get like murdered or something. Like, I don't know. I just had this bad like about festivals, like in a tent. But,
so you were just thinking Clamel.
Yeah, literally.
Normal gigs aren't like that.
Clamel. But yeah, and then... my first ever concert was Backstreet Boys. Swear to God, Louis, we met up with Louis at the, you know, the Four Seasons, but I think it's like the Intercontinental now. Fancy hotel. Like, Louis paid for like our dinners and it come to like €1,000 and like beef came out. Like, I was mad. Like, I was crazy. Like, it's all like things like that, you know. Like, we're just, I'm a young fella for Clonmel. Like, and I was like, what is going on? Sitting here across from Louis Walsh and he laughing at you and you're like, it's mad. But we were sitting there, and before that, concert, he was like, look lads, it's not really working. And we were like, what is going on here? And he goes, I have to get rid of some of you. Like, and we're like, no. I was like, why'd you tell us just before we go to a concert? Like, you ruined the whole night. Like, but he said he was who he was getting rid of anyway. He was getting rid of your man. And we were like, jeez, I don't know. Like, and then that was grand. Went to the concert, and would you believe it, like, as horrible as it sounds, like, he was a lovely fella, like, he was grand, like, but there was a picture taken of all of us at the concert, because we're all sitting kind of on the balcony.
Yeah.
And whatever happened, whenever the picture was taken, someone stood up in front of your man that was getting kicked out. So there was the four of us, Louis, and your man was covered. And we were like, oh, the poor young fella, like, but that's not a sign that you're gone. Like, and then, yeah, then about a week later, then we got added into a group chat with six of us. And I remember running down to my mom. I was like, mom, there's six of us in a band now. I was like, we're done. Like, that's not going to work. You don't hear six. Like, you always hear five or four.
And, yeah.
But yeah, but then it worked for about 3 years. And now here we are.
So the promo trail starts then. You went to England and you were saying off air, you did a lot of schools.
Yeah, we, like, I'd say we've seen every school in England, Scotland, Wales. Like, we've been to every corner of that country, like, up and down, going to schools. Like, we used to get up at 4 a.m, get into the van. You'd probably sleep in the van on the way. By 8 o'clock, we probably had about 7 schools done. Like, I mean, the schools hadn't even opened and we had them done, like, do you know what I mean? It was just madness.
What are you doing in the school?
So you'd go into school and you put on a gig. So you put on a gig for the kids, you sing them 4 or 5 songs, you do like a Q&A, they get to know a bit about you, you take pictures with them, and then like you tell them, like, you know, follow us on Instagram and stuff. And our like social media has went up so much when we were doing that.
It actually worked.
It did work. Like, and we built a serious fan base over in England. Like, it was just mental. But it
sounds like a grueling schedule.
It was tough. Like, you know, you do that and then like you'd finish up, because then you'd finish the schools at 4. And then you'd have radio then probably 5 or 6, and then you'd have a gig that night, and then you're getting back to your house in London, and you're not getting back till 2 a.m, you're getting 2 hours sleep, you're back up again at 4 to do it the next day.
Jesus.
Do you know what I mean? But like, we loved it. Like, it was absolutely amazing. And like, there was 6 of us living in Liam Payne's apartment, like Liam Payne from One Direction, in his apartment in London. It was only a 2-bed apartment, no, bear in mind.
How did you work that?
But it was a two-story apartment. Like, I'd never seen that before in my life. And we always had this thing, you know, if something was going on, you know, if like a company got onto you and we're like, right, we'll give you free clothes, you always had to write into group chat, like, shotgun first, like, do you know what I mean? And if you didn't get it, like, but so I knew, like, myself and Keane always shared rooms, so Keane wrote in shotgun first choice of the beds, and I was like, yes, you legend. And myself and Keane got the best room. Like, I mean, we had unreal. The bed was massive. We had this massive ensuite with like a bath, a walk-in shower, unreal toilet.
But you're still sharing a bed.
Yeah, but the bed was huge, man. The bed was huge. Like, it was like, literally, I was here and he was in Clonmel, like, do you know what I mean? That's how big the bed was. It was massive.
And was there a couple of lads on the couch?
Yeah, what? So there was myself and Keane in one bed, Dean and Josh in the other, and then Ryan and Brendan were on the couch. But like, but at the start, we were like, oh, look, we'll swap over. Like, that never happened. Like, it was never swapping. But we were always on the road, and like 2 or 3 nights a week we'd stay in hotels.
Yeah.
So like, we're like, you're getting your bed then, so be grateful, like, do you know what I mean?
Like, when they say, like, okay, you're going to be in a boy band, I don't envisage you'd be sleeping on a couch.
Man, it's not all like, well, it is all, it's cracked up to me. It's madness. It's not work at all. Like, do you know what I mean? You're going on, like, you're getting up, you're jumping around on stage like a jackass, like, people are screaming for you, like, and you're getting paid to do it, like, do you know what I mean?
Okay, well, speaking of getting paid, so when do you start making money, or like, do you make money?
Yeah, you do. Like, the money is there. Like, now it is tough when there's 6 people, and then there's a manager, and then there's a team, and, you know, it gets split down. But like, we were getting looked after, like, do you know what I mean? And we were getting paid really well, and enough to keep us going. Like, not enough to be buying a house or a Range Rover. Like, but it was enough. Like, do you know what I mean? It was grand. Like, sure, at the time we didn't really care about money. We were just in it. Like, the lads were in it mainly for the music, and I was just in it for performing. And like, performing on stage and stuff was where I was at. Like, the boys were mad into their music and writing songs, but I hadn't a clue. Like, so I don't play an instrument. Most of the boys would, and so.
But if the lads had said, Louis, we've written a song.
Yeah.
Would it have been given a chance?
Probably, yeah, probably. But I see, at the very start, we didn't do that. We weren't writing songs. We kind of were writing songs towards the end. Because we kind of found ourselves, like we were a year and a half in, 2 years in, and we were like, the boys started writing songs then. Because before that, we were kind of getting sent songs by everyone else, and it was just kind of working, like.
Yeah.
And yeah, then we kind of started writing songs, and then kind of just a few deals fell through, like, we were meant to go to Japan. I'll never forget it. We were meant to go to Japan, and we got sent like this big manifesto of like what they want us to do, and it was mad. And then that deal fell through, and then other deals fall through, and we were just like, this is a joke now. Like, and
yeah,
we're like, look, we'll call it a day while we're still out there. And then I obviously got Dancing with the Stars in, and I was blessed to have that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what made you, like, did you pull the plug, or was it more the management telling you it wasn't working?
It was kind of a bit of both. Like, it was kind of like, we're just like, look, this is a time now where we're kind of all at a good enough age where, like, we've kind of done 2.5-3 years of this. We'll call it a day for a minute, go do whatever else you want to do. Like, the boys wanted to do solo careers, yeah, and go back to college and things like that while we're still young, and see where it's at. And that was kind of it then. And we said it to Louis, and Louis was like, yeah, look, if that's what you want to do, fair enough. Like, so
yeah, you were telling me before that you went to South Africa,
yeah,
to do a music video. Oh, like, we've done one in a closed down garage in Care.
It was mad. Like, they literally were like, oh, we're going to shoot the music video in South Africa, and we were like, oh, class, you know, thinking we go over there for a day. Went over for a week. And in that week we shot 2 music videos in 2 days. So we had, what, 5 days holiday, like, in South Africa. Yeah. But we were actually doing a thing for the Late Late Show as well. We were doing, do you know them things where you see and they're like, oh, text in to win this trip.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like, you can be in this safari as well. And it was just mental. Like. But yeah, I went to South Africa to shoot a music video. And we were shooting, I would say everyone's sick of hearing this story now, but we were doing this scene where we were all on mopeds.
Yeah.
And we all had one each, but like I couldn't drive at the time. So we were getting a go of it or whatever, and we were practicing. That was grand. And next thing, they I don't know why they did it, but they parked it like off the road, but there was a bit of a dip onto the road. So they were like, right, we'll get going now. And it's great, grand. So I took off and I hit the dip and I panicked and revved the moped, and the thing took off and I was going straight for the wall. I turned it and I thought I was braking, but I was revving it. And so the thing was just dragging me along the wall, and then eventually I stopped it anyway. And I sure, your one that owns the moped was there, like. And I said, geez, I'm really sorry. Like, but like, I hadn't damaged it, but like my leg, I still have a scar on my leg from it. Anything, like, tell it it's a shark bite, like, do you know what I mean? Like, pure hard like that, like. Shark bite in Clonmel. Yeah, I was mental. But my only fear was, I thought I'd have to do the scene sitting on the back of one of the boys.
Yeah.
Holding on to him like this, like, do you know what I mean? Everyone else driving the moped, here's me in the back. But I remember when then we were filming, your man, like, they filmed it on, they were on a truck driving in front of us, and we were driving away and having the crack and whatever. And your man was like, you at the back, he was like, come up. And I was like, not at all. I'm going 2 miles an hour and I'm not moving. But yeah, I was, the fear, man, fear.
Like, that must have been real pinch yourself stuff. Like,
it was
we're in a boy band managed by Lewis Walsh.
Yeah.
Song is written by Codeline.
Yeah.
We're out in South Africa filming a video. You must be thinking, we're on the train here.
Oh, yeah, we were like, this is it. Like, we have it made. Like, we work hard enough. Like, this will be it. Like, and I just, yeah, I remember, like, we were just sitting there in the pool being like, what is going on? Like, we're like, having drinks at like 2 a.m. in South Africa, jumping into a pool. Like, do you know what I mean? We, you know, you're not supposed to be doing it, but yeah, we're so cool. Like, but no, the real, like, kind of pinch yourself moment was, we were in Dubai for a week doing a gig, and yeah, we did one gig in Dubai again, went out for a week. Like, it's like they just wanted to send us on holidays, just to absolutely wreck the gas.
Sounds like our tour.
Yeah. And I remember we were sitting in this, like, you know, like, balcony pool, like, we looked out over and things, you know, yeah, what Dubai is, well, I'm mad. And we're just sitting there, and I was just like, what is going on? Like, how did this happen? I'm so jammy. Like, and anyone will tell you, like, anyone that meets you, be like, that lad's a jammy. But like, do you know, because I was like, I got into my dance college on a full scholarship. Like, don't ask me how I got in to that. Like, got into the band, got on Dance with Stars, now have my own dance school. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, you make your own look in this. Yeah.
Just about.
Well, but you kind of run your singing abilities down a little bit. Like, you're a good singer.
Yeah, it's more, I'd always have, like, see, do you know yourself, when you put stuff up online and people will always give you like abuse and stuff. And I was kind of always the one that was like, what's that lad doing? Like, he's shite, like, he doesn't say anything. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was always, and it was just hard. And then, like, even in the songs, like, we'd always get them sent back, and like, they wouldn't put my voice on the track. And I was just like, what's going on? Like, but at the time I was like, all right, this is maybe how it is. And I was like, look, I'm just going to ooh and ah in the back if I have to make my millions. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't care. Like, I can go out drinking the night before. I don't have to sing the next day. The boys are busting. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, no, it was a bit disheartening. And like, you'd have people like coming up to me like, yeah, you can't sing and you're shite. And I did. Yeah, you would. Yeah. And like, I took that to heart personally. Like, I was like, you know, cause I'm a confident lad. I am fairly comfortable. When people say that to you and they're like writing online, but like, why is that lad in the band? He doesn't need to be there. And do you know what I mean? And like, there's just people come up to you on night out and be like, well, you're shite. Like, and I'm like, jeez, thanks. Like,
every boy band has a dynamic where one or two people sing more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We knew that as well. Like, but the different thing was with our band was like, we all said that we all could sing. Do you know what I mean? And we, like, I can sing, like, but I'm not obviously like, you know, Justin Bieber or something. Do you know what I mean? But I back myself, like, but that was kind of our thing, is like, we all can sing, like, do you know what I mean? We're good at harmonies and we're good at singing on our own and stuff. But yeah, just, you know, like, people can be mean enough, like, and I just took it a bit personally. And but look, I have kind of risen above it. Like, I've always been given abuse, like, you know, with dancing and stuff. You'd always get bullied in school. And
well, what was the crack around Clonmel when you were announced, that's it, lads, fuck you, I'm in a boy band?
Went in just like Conor McGregor, walked in, punched every young fella that ever looked at me.
Headbutt lads around O'Keefe.
To be honest, it was mad. Like, it did change. Like, and people would be like, John, you fair play. Like, you worked hard to get where you are. So, but even now, people are like, what are you doing at Clonmel? Like, why aren't you out in Miami or something? I'm like, why would I be in Miami? Like, I'm working here. Like, what's the issue? Like,
do you ever look back and wonder, like, why weren't we as big as One Direction? Or
timing. It was all about timing. At the time, One Direction were kind of just fizzling out and boy bands are kind of dying. And now there's a market for them, I think. There's no boy bands out there. Like, Westlife, there are still, obviously, with lockdown and stuff, it's not happening. But yeah, it was just timing and we were just unlucky. And then you meet certain people that don't really want you to do well, and you know, the higher up people have the power to cut you off. And that's kind of what happened and stuff. So, you know, it's just, it's luck of the draw as well, you know.
And if you want your young ones to learn how to do hip hop and backflips, Dale's Dance School is opening back up in September. Just search for the Dale Cronin Dance Academy online and you'll find all the details. You can even dance like me and Johnny, but we're class dancers. Now, he has two styles of hurling. One is to drive it and the second is to live it off. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
How young for that?
Well, Noel.
I'm fine, thank you.
I was just about to give me a chance, like, how are you?
You're shook because I heard you had a bit of a do.
We had a...
You were out the back garden with family.
Yeah. How did you know?
What, should we talk of the town?
What do you mean, talk of the town?
Yeah, and they were all saying you had bad weather for it.
It was actually desperate.
Why didn't you talk to the sheep?
Who?
The sheep. Rami Conway's brother. You know Rami Conway?
Yeah.
He's some man to travel.
Yeah.
He seemed more hooped in Celtic Park. But his brother, the sheep. The sheep knows the weather.
Right.
I asked him, how will the weather be on Saturday? And he said to me, Noel, there's a wind that would blow the bonnet off St. Bridges. Well, I says, it's a good thing she's not going. Like, what do you mean? Are you talking about the statue outside the church? I said, look, sheep, don't lie to me. I came here to talk weather. I didn't come here to talk shit. I listened to you soliloquies about St. Bridget and her stone bonnet. I said, what's the weather going to be like? He said, no, it's going to be fucking windy. I said, grand. In that case, I'm not going.
Okay.
Also, I can't stand you.
Thanks very much. We missed you because we actually had a Guinness cake. You know, I thought of you while we were having a drink.
You prick.
I'm sorry.
It's not going to butter my sandwiches. But talking about weather.
Yes.
I have something here for you now. Did you know all Cork people can predict the weather?
Go away.
Yes. This is why some people say Cork are fine day hurlers. Because in Cork, they know when it's going to be a fine day. That is point one of my new segment, 10 things you didn't know about Cork.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Point number two. Cork people can tell if you are dyslexic just by looking at your feet.
That's a fact, is it?
That is a fact. Cork, point number three. People from Cork can see in the dark. But they will never admit it.
Why?
Number four. Women from Macroom can speak to squirrels. Again, they will be slow to admit this, but I firmly believe it to be true. Five. The first man on the moon was from Cove. Yeah, he came home again. Didn't like it. I met him. I was in a pub on Princess Street in Cork. And he was like, "Ah, yeah, I was on the moon once. It was shit. Not for me, boy. No atmosphere. Couldn't breathe. No running water. Unable to sustain carbon-based life forms. Fuck that." I was like, "What was the moon like?" He said, "Weak gravitational pull." Do you know, you put something down, it floats away. You put something down in Cork, it stays down, do you know? Not for me, bye. And that's why he never went back to the moon. He just preferred Cork. Number six. The man who invented the telephone, apparently Alexander Graham Bell, when he picked up the first telephone, he had two missed calls from Cork. That is a fact. I swear, it went ring, ring. "Well, Alex, boy, look, we've already invented the telephone. No one else knows, because we just talk to each other."
Oh, my Seven. God.
People from Fermoy can read minds. This is true. I pulled into Fermoy one day and I went into the sports bar there and I walked up to the counter and your man said, "You'll have a pint." And I thought, "Whoa. How the fuck did he know that?" I just said to myself, I was like, "Get out of my head. Get out of my head, you gypsy." I ordered a double whiskey just to throw him off. Cork people discovered China. If you listen closely to the Chinese accent, it is quite similar to Dennehy's Cross. This is why Barry's tea is so popular. It was Barry himself who was the first man to set foot on mainland China, and he founded the Ming Dynasty. Also, what do Chinese people love? Tea.
Yeah.
I rest my face.
Okay. Well,
number nine.
Obscure.
But true. Number nine. Joseph Stalin. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Where was he from?
Russia.
Exactly. But his brother, Stevie.
where was he from?
He's from Cork. Stevie Stalin. He actually had trials with Cork City, but he done his knee chasing a dog. And that's why he didn't get involved in World War II. He was trying to mind the knee. Yeah, he was centre half. He was good. Yeah. He could have gone all the way. Number 10. The Blarney Stone is made up.
What?
It doesn't exist. A man from Cork got drunk in America and he said if you kiss him you get the gift of the gab, and his name was Barney Stone. But he was so drunk and he was from Dunmanway, so they couldn't fully understand him, which does beg the question, why do Americans want to talk like that? Then when the American tourists came to Ireland with the Yankee dollar, the Cork lads found a way and they were like, oh yeah, I know Barney Stone. And now they get 1 million tourists a year to kiss a rock. Cork people are laughing all the way to the bank. R.I.P. Barney Stone.
Wow.
And that is 10 things you didn't know about Cork.
I'm glad I know them now, though.
Well, it will prepare you.
Yeah.
Obviously, next time you go to Fermoy, you will have to wear some sort of helmet. Or
something.
Mind protection device.
I don't know if it's been invented yet.
Just a bite from I. It's a bypass now anyway. So. In local news, my dog is sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Nicky English, the Cocker Spaniel. And I don't understand it. I'm after giving him Panadol, whiskey,
no.
two lemons, goat's milk, half an apple tart, holy water, a signed slitter by Joe Dooley, and a pack of Mighty Munch.
And you wonder why he's sick.
I put them all into a blender, and I made him drink it.
He drank a slitter signed by Joe Dooley.
Yeah, and he still has a limp. Carmel, my good lady wife, has been up every night singing the Wolf Tones to him. Rubbing him with poutine. And I warned him. I was going out the door this morning and I said, Nicky, I said, that limp better heal up or boom, boom.
Why was Carmel singing the Wolf Tones?
What, dogs love the Wolf Tones. Cocker Spaniels especially have an affinity to Derek Warfield. He used to have a ginger beer. But these things are serious. Like, we had a dog before who bit a child.
Oh.
And I had to put the child down.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The neighbour was like an antichrist. We have a sheepdog now called Michael Jackson. Parag named him when he was young, only by, because the sheepdog is black and white.
Yeah.
Like the song.
Yeah.
So Michael Jackson, obvious name for a sheepdog if you think about it.
Yeah.
Black or white. Carmel then got two collie pups. Yeah, she calls them the happy pair. Because they're both happy.
Yeah.
And there's a pair of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, obviously their real names are Tom and Susan. But they love the old farm.
Yeah.
The happy pair. Ah, they'd be out chasing bonnets and.
Yeah.
We got a few pigs.
Did you?
Yeah, we killed a pig last week.
Well.
Now, I suppose I shouldn't be saying that because we haven't the license to.
Okay.
Kill pigs anymore. You used to be able to. Farmers all have their own. But now it's all red tape. You must have an abattoir, fridges, hygiene. Ridiculous. Farmers always had pigs.
Yeah.
It's very handy. Like, there's no Mr. Binman in my house.
It's true. But
pigs ate it.
I don't think that's right.
Now, there can be a funky taste off the pigs. Like, you buy a Walkman from China and you're listening to Peter Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart.
Bit of the Rat Pack. And then it breaks and you feed it to a pig and the pig eats it. And then you kill the pig and you sell the pig meat back to China. It's like Elton John says.
Circle of life.
Circle of life.
My gosh. That's outrageous.
That's my news now.
Thanks a million all. Oh my God.
You were talking about training young fellas.
Yeah.
Fuck, you know about it.
I learned everything I know from you.
Corns.
Corns, yeah.
There's no corns in the field.
Well, how do you do the training?
I'd level off. You walked into that one.
Oh, I walked right and you set me up for that one.
Level off.
We'll see you next week. Her pet names for her dog Ted include Snuggle Muffin, Cuddle Bunny and Lamb Chop.
Jesus.
Her pet name for us is Ye Two Pricks.
Hey!
Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
It's a question for you lads. If you were getting married, would you want your other half to take your surname?
You fucking...
Now, for me, I wouldn't want to take someone's surname because I like my surname. And I don't know, I can kind of understand it maybe if you've kids and, you know, you don't want the kids to have, you know, those hyphenated surnames that makes them sound, you know, like they've notions.
Oh, yeah, double barrel.
Yeah, I don't know. And plus, like, why wouldn't he take my surname if we're thinking along those ways? I'd love to know what happens in same-sex relationships because, you know, since, you know, it was 2015, they can get married now. Mm. So, like, you know, do you, if you're in a female relationship, does what do you do? But, yeah, my sister took her husband's surname and I didn't realise it until I couldn't tag her in a Facebook status one day. It was like, kept coming up to Claire Keogh. I was like, who am I friends with a Claire Keogh? Who is that? So, but she just thought it was a nice thing. But yeah, what's your thoughts on it, lads?
It is nice, but not 100% necessary. Like, it's kind of flattering, is it, for a woman to take your name?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it? Has it been discussed?
Well, it is now, isn't it?
Would you not take
it? We have had a brief discussion, yeah.
Well?
Yeah, I said, like, you better take my name. And then she was like, no, but I think she was just winding me up. Like, you know, I don't really know. But, no, I'd say she will.
You get around her. You've got another few months to work on her.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but I think it's I'm a traditionalist and I just kind of like, I like to think that like my family name is kind of, there's not too many boys in our family.
Mm.
So like, I think the name might die out. So I want to try and keep it going. So, and I want like, obviously like I want my kids to have my name.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of how it's done, isn't it? Traditionally.
Yeah.
That they would take the father's name. So yeah, I'd be hoping that Annie would take it as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's essential, but.
No, I wouldn't like. I'd rather she did, but like I wouldn't be like, well, if you don't take it, we're not getting married. Now I could have probably threatened that before.
I think it would be weird if you got married and the kids didn't take the dad's name.
Yeah, I'd be worrying then, to be honest.
It's not a big deal, but it would be confusing for people. They'd be like, oh, are you not together? Or
yeah, I just think I think like from a family unit, it just kind of completes the family. You all have the one name.
Makes life a bit easier.
One team, one dream.
One team, one dream.
Yeah,
Maura, I have to say, when you said that you probably wouldn't take a guy's name, I was not surprised.
Well, I'm not alone in that. There's a couple, BuzzFeed have done an article. They've spoken to women explaining why they did or didn't take their husband's last name. So one woman said, he's not the one who graduated with a chemistry degree and he's not the one going to school to be a doctor. I am. So she wanted to be doctor, whatever, her own surname, not her husband's surname. I think that's quite
Maura,
fair enough. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'll do, right? I'll actually ring Annie there now, right? Live on the podcast, and I'll ask her, is she going to take my name, right?
Okay. See what she says.
Okay. Right, Johnny, you hold that up to the mic.
I take no responsibility if this, you know, ends your marriage plan, so.
Yeah. She's not going to answer, like.
I'll ring you back there in a minute.
Yeah, just real quick. You know,
she's not taking your name.
She won't even take her calls.
Oh god. But here, we're waiting for Annie to call you back. I have a couple of other reasons here. One woman said she took her husband's last name because her maiden surname is Coward, which is, you know, you wouldn't want that. And then well, somebody said, I took my husband's last name because it symbolizes we are one. You need help, lady, okay? Because...
Oh, shit.
As much as anybody's in a relationship, you do have to... I hate those people that talk about themselves or their, you know, partner and they say, we like this and we like that. It's like, you're not, well, you know, a unit.
Maura.
Mm.
Myself and Johnny kind of talk like that. We're big into the Saw Doctors.
Yeah, no, I honestly, like, I would find myself saying we about me and Johnny more than I would, like,
yeah,
But me and Annie, like, kind of like, we won't be at that, or we, you know, we won't be. It's like, who are you bringing with you?
Do you know when you have a teacher in school, and let's say her name is Miss Murphy, and then she gets married to Mr. Ryan?
Yeah.
Does she change her name in school so her students now have to call her Mrs. Ryan?
Yeah, it's quite confusing in school. I think
you just stay on your maiden name.
Stay on the maiden name. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's just easy.
But like, I think sometimes it's acceptable to have a double barrel if, like, your names are short. So say, like, if you take your name, Maura, and Johnny's name, so it'd be like, you know, Faye O'Brien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't the worst, whereas, like, long names are disastrous, like.
Yeah. My sister couldn't have done a double barrel surname because then it would have been Fakio, which if you say it really fast sounds like fuck you, Fakio, fuck you.
yeah.
Okay, I'm interested to hear what people will say about this.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting.
I don't think I would be taking the woman's name. I don't know why, I just, that wouldn't work for me.
No,
unnecessary.
I wouldn't be able to take the.
She doesn't have to take mine, but I'm not taking hers.
It sounds bad now that we say it, that, like, oh, yeah, she can take mine, but I'm not taking hers. Like, it's like, I am who I am. I don't want to be anyone else. I like my name.
Yeah, I don't mind my kids not having my surname. Like, I've no problem them having the husband's surname, but I suppose like I could name one of the children if they're a girl, Faye. So, like, at least something of my name would be still, you know, in their
Fay. that would be a cool name, Fay.
Definitely be a singer or a hippie or something. Thanks, Mar. That's class.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that one. I think we're going to get some great correspondence in about that. Do get in touch, everyone. And don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag #2johnniespod, that's the number 2, to get in touch. And you can also email us at podcast@2johnnies.ie, and you can email us correspondence, topics you'd like to hear, anything.
Yeah.
At and goes. Get in touch. Now it's time for our Yurts and Dirts of the Week. Yurt and Dirt is sponsored this week by the good people at 48. They are changing up mobile. And also, right, they're giving you a chance to win prizes. All you got to do is send in your yurt anywhere on social media. So Facebook, put it on your Instagram wall.
Twitter,
the whole lot. Just use the hashtag Yurt48. That's Yurt48. Right? Use that hashtag. Send us in your yurts of the week and you can win some prizes from 48. And you can check out 48.ie for all the details on what they provide.
Now, my yurt this week is actually from County Wexford in Cortown. There is a seal rescue facility. Baby seals get separated from mammy. Bad wind is blowing them around, right? They end up on the beach like they're locked. And then the seal rescue boys bring them in. Mm. And then, because the little baby seals are lonely, they make a big fake mama seal out of old wetsuits. And they throw it into the pen with them. And then the baby seals, like, lay up on top and kind of they rub it like it's their mother.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. They mustn't be intellectually, like, you know, surely you'd know the difference between your mother and a wetsuit. You would like to think.
You know what I mean? Seals, cute.
It is cute.
That's why they haven't taken over the world yet. What is your, what have you got, a dirt?
Yeah, I'll start with me dirt, right? So I was shaving the other day, my face, and in the bathroom. And I was like just trimming down the beard a bit. And then I was like, oh, I got hair on the like toilet seat kind of. So our toilet seat is close enough to the sink, like. And I had the window open, windows blowing, whatever, right? So I went to wipe away a bit of like the hairs from my beard on the toilet. It was my beard on the toilet seat, right? And then I had the razor in the same hand.
Yeah.
Electric razor now, worth a few pound. And then I clipped it off the toilet bowl. And all I could hear was blop. And look down and the razor just sitting in the toilet. Now, thankfully, like, it was clean, the water, like, but it was, the razor was finished, like, it was sopping wet. And I was like, Jesus, shit. Oh, it was like, thank God it wasn't my phone. So I just got the razor, fired into the bin in the bathroom. And I was like, right, look, I'm going to have to get a new razor in here. Then last night, around 3 o'clock in the morning, all I could hear was, the razor had obviously dried itself out in the bin and just come alive. It was still on.
Yeah.
And like, and he was like, What's that? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's a bumblebee. And then like I went into the bathroom, was like, what the? And then I was like, I wonder is somebody mind fucking me now? Like, are they after coming in, turning on this razor, like playing a prank on me? But it just turned out it was the razor, so I smashed it off the ground and then put it back in the bin.
Why? It was back working.
Yeah, but it was done with toilet, man. You don't want that around your face. You don't want that around your face, all right? Okay. Have you got a dirt?
Quick one. Nowadays, people are all saying like, oh, you can't say that nowadays. And everyone's too offended, easy, too sensitive, right? Well, us Irish like to think that we're good to take a joke and take a slagging.
Yeah.
Did you see what John Cleese said?
No.
John Cleese, Fawlty Towers, Monty Python, comedic actor, bit of a legend at this stage. He retweeted, I took a photo here, screenshot. So an Irish person tweeted, Kiva is my dog's name, but it's spelt Cuiva, C-A-O-I-M-H-E. Yeah. You know, English people often mispronounce Irish names. Yeah. And John Cleese retweeted it saying, no wonder the Irish never had an empire. It's a joke.
Yeah, okay.
Almost 1,500 comments. A lot of them angry Irish people.
Wow.
And, like, he's having the crack.
Yeah.
Now, I know, like, you know what I mean? England gave us a hard time. There's a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
And also, Irish people are like, well, we didn't want an empire. We don't think the British Empire is anything to be proud of.
Mm.
Like, okay. But at the same time, he was having a joke.
Yeah.
And it's not offensive. We know we never had an empire. And he's also kind of still playing a character of like that English toff. No wonder you never had an empire. You have funny names.
How do 1,500 people have time to comment on something like that and just go mental? Like, you know, there's better things to be doing than commenting, trying to get excited.
Yeah, I'm not offended.
No, nor I. Nor I, in fairness. I don't really have a yurt this week. I guess it's kind of more... The yurt is what this man done for the country. So just before we recorded the podcast, we got news that Jack Charlton had passed away at 85. And I think what that man has done for this country, obviously an English man as well.
Yeah.
And he's won a World Cup with England, the only World Cup they've ever won. But to us, he'll just be remembered as single-handedly turning the country from like poverty and misery and heartache and unemployment and fucking, what's it called when they go abroad?
Immigration.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Couldn't get my brain to work. But
he wasn't a politician.
No, Jack Charlton just came in and instantly made the country class.
Rejuvenating the Irish soccer team.
I was just looking at some of the tweets coming in this morning about him, and it was like one person said, Jack Charlton told Ireland how not to be shit anymore. And I just thought that pretty much sums it up. Jack Charlton's a legend. Like, look, we were too young for his real tenure, like, but I think we've seen the fruits of his labour later on. Like,
yeah.
He transformed the country.
And I love the video of when they were at USA in 94, the World Cup, he had a Guinness tap installed in his hotel room.
Yeah, because he could. Some great stories about him as well. I heard that like he never paid for drinks. He would write a cheque and then they'd obviously never cash it because it was a cheque from Jack Charlton.
They'd frame it and put it on the wall because it was signed by Jack Charlton.
That's the level of fame you want to be getting. So an honorary Irishman, Jack Charlton.
Yeah.
And I think there's only one way anyway to play out the podcast. And that's what we're going to do. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
Put him under pressure.
We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete. We'll put them under pressure. The game is about being effective, being aggressive, winning the ball, getting on with the play. We'll put them under pressure.
conflict our game on the people, put them under pressure.